Story 68, Compassionate Relief. If someone asks you for help, orders to my staff, let's do it.
While I was always seeking ways to earn money, I never put business above people. I have observed how that can be the case with other companies or organizations, where business is what matters most, and people are secondary. That's not my way. And more importantly, that's not the way Jesus taught us to be. Jesus always put people first. That is what we are called to do if we are truly following his example. People are first. Our properties and programs exist because of people. People are our business. When I was running things, if anyone came to our donation center warehouse and told my staff they didn't have any money and needed a bed or clothing or whatever, I wanted my staff to do the compassionate thing and give them what they needed. Everyone on staff knew if someone came to us in need and we believed them, we'd give them what they needed. I never wanted us to turn anyone away or deny them. It didn't make any sense to me to deny someone in need only to turn around and sell an item that was donated to us for profit. If the person in need was standing in front of us, the compassionate thing to do was to help provide them with what they needed if we could. To always be compassionate was and always is the right decision in my book. Also, my staff always knew they didn't need to call me to get permission to do the compassionate thing. Keith McKay and Alex Miranda were my two longtime warehouse managers. Like everyone on the team, they were empowered to provide what was needed. But we weren't ignorant. There were times when people weren't being truthful, and we knew it. We'd just redirect them to go through the normal channels. Just the other day, I was talking with Alex, who visits me often because his wife, Maria, is my weekday caregiver, and he reminded me about how the warehouse staff would always put wheelchairs, crutches, and walkers off to the side, never to be sold. That way, whenever someone came in to us in need for them, we had plenty to give. While Father Joe's thrift stores are a helpful part of creating revenue to help fund all of our programs, making a profit was never, ever prioritized over people. In the early years, I found out after the fact about a time when we were at capacity at the Villages with no available beds. But a family came to the door in the middle of the night. It was raining outside, and they needed a place to stay. Well, we happened to have a few cots in a storage closet, and my staff let them in to sleep on them. The family was gone by the time I arrived in the morning. Do you think I was upset when I was told this story? No, I wasn't. I was glad they made a compassionate choice to provide relief to the family. While this isn't something that continued, it's an example of the standard of compassion my staff upheld as best as possible. Something not many people know is that I'd hire undercover detectives to check up on my staff. Similar to how retail stores and restaurants hire people to act like customers, secret shoppers, to make sure staff members are providing excellent customer service, I did the same thing at St. Vincent de Paul Villages. At times, I would hire men and women undercover detectives to come in as if they were neighbors in need. They'd stay in our housing for a week or two and go through the whole process. They'd report back to me about what they experienced and how my staff conducted themselves. I wanted to make sure everyone on staff was providing our neighbors with compassion and respect. Seldom having any major issues to resolve, more regularly, I'd hear stories of my staff going above and beyond to be helpful to meet their needs. In everything we did, our job was to provide neighbors in need with compassionate relief. I truly believe a person can achieve what they want in life when they have the opportunity to do so. But if someone is stressing about whether or not they're going to have a bed to sleep on that night, they don't have energy to do much else. They are in pure survival mode. I felt our work was to help ease their burden. Once someone is out of survival mode, having a place to stay and food to eat, the work of rehabilitation can start, and we were there to understand and meet their needs to help them improve their lives. And that's what happened over and over again. We have so many success stories. One in particular I can think of is a woman who came to us with her children after escaping a domestic abuse situation. She had no job, no money, and nowhere to go. What did she need? She needed compassionate relief. She needed a place for them to stay, food to eat, care for her kids, counseling to get stronger emotionally, a recovery program to get sober, medical care, and job training. We had all of that for her under one roof. She got sober. She got a job. Her children are educated, with her oldest in college earning honors. God doesn't make junk. Our neighbors just need the opportunity to grow into their fullness and experience unconditional, compassionate relief.